attracted some public interest and have received some media coverage, which I think is good because indeed it's a very important constitutionally established institution that we're dealing with, and with a very important mandate to execute, and therefore an appointment such as that we are asked to make a recommendation on is a matter indeed of significant public interest. I wasn't sure if I would be here this morning. I caught flu on Friday, and but I'm glad that I feel I'm well into my final stages of recovery. Hope it's not an OMH one, and I hope I don't infect everybody else. So keep a distance from me. On a more serious note, it is unfortunate that we are still battling to get more full-bodied. The committee is still quite a number of members of the committee that are not yet here, although we understand that some are still on their way, so hopefully during the course of proceedings our number shall have increased significantly from where it is. You will recall that we met on Tuesday and agreed that the committee secretary must distribute to all members all copies of CVs received, so that we can, in our spare time, study them, so that when we meet today, we're in a position to assess which of those candidates warrant inclusion in our shortlist, which would then constitute the candidates that would be invited for interviews. We also agreed that in the event we are of the view that the pool of candidates that we have is not sufficient to our satisfaction to make a recommendation from, that would explore the possibility of extending the invitation to get more candidates, so that the pool can be enlarged from which to make a selection. I am not sure whether to start with the process of going through the names, or whether any colleagues would like to comment on any of the matters I've just mentioned. Is there any particular suggestion from colleagues as to how we should proceed this morning? Yes, this is the mic. Yeah, mic. Yeah.
Chair, thank you. Well, I realise it's not your fault as chairperson. I think that this committee, consisting of at the moment the four of us, should really be very concerned at the fact that we are here to elect, well, to shortlist nominations for the public protector. I think we should accept that the public protector, being one of the most important positions held in South Africa, and the way in which this committee is treating this matter is appalling. And I think that you as chairperson must take this up. I'm not exactly sure who you would take it up with, but I think the fact that it took us 3 goes to elect a chairperson, and now that we sit here for the first time to do the shortlisting, and there are 3 members of the committee sitting here, is a very sad state of affairs, and I think that this committee is treating this nomination process with a great deal of disdain. And I personally am very upset about this, because I'm sure you yourself are, and I would like this not to occur in the future again, considering the importance of the work that we have to do today.
Mr. Svanyeli, perhaps before I invite you to comment, can we just address first, unless you want to comment on the issue of attendance, can we deal with that issue first? And in that regard, can I request the committee secretary to advise the committee on the situation with regard to that?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, we have some of the members that have been elected to serve in this committee that also serve on the Portfolio Committee on Justice. But before I called the meeting, this meeting, I spoke to the secretary of the Portfolio Committee on Justice, and he told me that there were only 5 members of the Justice Committee that were going to meet today. So that is why we called for the meeting, because I spoke with Mrs. Michael and Mrs. Mars, and then they agreed that Mrs. Michael will attend this meeting, and Mrs. Mars will attend the Justice Committee meeting. And then the other members, chair of the committee, it's only when I spoke to them this morning that they apologized that they won't be attending. Okay, I've got Mr. Hussein from the Independent Democrats, Mr. Ndapane from the United Democratic Movement, then got 2 members of COPE, Ms. Kotsi and Mr. George. They both told me that they were never informed that they were going to serve on this committee. They just saw documents arriving, they just saw documents being sent to their offices, but they're not aware that they're supposed to be serving in this committee. And then Mrs. Ramodibe of the African National Congress sent an apology this morning. I received it from the secretary this morning. Ms. A. Lozo, also from the African
National Congress. Ramodibe, is she back from overseas?
Chair, I think Mr. Sikaso will know better, because he's also the secretary to Mr. Ramodibe.
Just to verify that, because my understanding was that the apology was linked to, the previous apology was linked to the fact that I think she was out of the country last time she was back.
Yes.
Alright. But alright, we do have an apology.
Chair, I got the apology this morning, but last week on Friday I got an email from one of the secretaries, because apparently she's got 2 secretaries, stating that she will attend and she will be back in, the country on Monday of the 24th. And then I've got Advocate DeLange. I didn't hear anything from them. I didn't receive any apologies. And then,
I think we may need to pursue reluctantly the option of writing to the chief whips of each of those political parties and indicate the concern that we have as a committee for the poor attendance at this meeting, given the significance of the task at hand, and urge them to actually prioritize this committee. Mm-hmm. All right. We did get some apologies that some colleagues were stuck in the traffic from the airport and that they would be arriving late. That was Mr. Nduza and Mr. Malali. So I think that they're already here anyway. So are there any further comments on the issue of
Yeah, Chairperson, listening to the secretary here, it is likely that we may find two additional members who are still going to be part of us, who are on the way. Am I correct? We are no longer expecting anyone to join us. Malale, only one. Yeah. Chairperson, under those circumstances, I wonder whether shouldn't we maybe attend this meeting? It's a very important task that we are supposed to do. And I'm also influenced by the fact that the Secretary says some of the members of this committee say they were not aware that they are members. They only saw a correspondence coming in. I think we need to shake that up, and then also maybe to ensure that we are fairly represented. I think only four members tackling this huge task, I think it won't be seen as something fair in the eyes of the public. Thank you, Chairman. I move that maybe we adjourn this meeting.
Mr. Ndlovu, you want to come in?
Before I support the adjournment, Chairperson, you know, there are excuses that are acceptable. There are excuses that are not acceptable. Excuses that we didn't know, we just got the mails from our pigeonholes. We didn't know that we were supposed to be in this committee. That is an excuse. Because all chief whips sit in the chief whips forum, and the parties nominate different people and so on and so forth. If people get the mail and it doesn't, or she doesn't know where she's supposed to go, she has supposed to ask the question. That is not an excusable thing. That's the first thing, Chairperson. Second thing, Chairperson, is that this is a very important task. We need to have an amount of people to be here. Now, I don't understand, Chairperson. When we have got the notices in advance to come to the meetings, people have to rearrange themselves. There are people who have flown yesterday to sleep here in Cape Town because they wanted to be as early as possible in this meeting because it's an important meeting. Only to find that we have to sit here for 45 minutes and adjourn. That's not fair to those people who have left the meeting yesterday and then come and flew out to be here in the morning and then sit here for nothing. We're not blaming you, Chairperson. I'm saying it not because I'm blaming you, but I'm putting the perspective of how I think the matter is. It is important, therefore, Chairperson, that the next time when you coordinate a meeting, while you are writing to all the chief whips, which are friends, that you write a red light letter to the chief whips, raising these points of view. But when we are arranging the meeting next time, strictly everybody has to be here, unless otherwise it's a good reason that you cannot be there to be here. That would be understandable. To me, we mustn't come with excuses that are not really acceptable at all. We have got a deadline. You have got a deadline as a chairperson. This committee has a deadline. Therefore, you cannot keep on extending the deadline every now and then when we're dealing with these things. We have to be punctual and we have to be efficient and we have to deal with the matter as soon as possible. Thank you, Chairperson.
Ms.
I did discuss this with Tim McCorsey on the two occasions that we didn't have a quorum to elect yourself as chairperson. And I do think, and the honourable member I'm sure will agree with me, it is a problem. For those of us that live outside of Cape Town, of which this committee is made up of many, myself and honourable member Ndlovu last night in fact didn't attend constituency meetings, and we flew in last night to be here at 9 o'clock this morning. Unfortunately, the earliest that you can get to Parliament on a Tuesday morning is about 9:45, because the planes arrive at 9 o'clock, and then by the time you disembark and you get to Parliament, it's 10 o'clock. So I strongly suggest that we make the meeting at 10 o'clock, so that if it's on a Tuesday, Honourable Member Ndlovu and myself can attend our constituency meetings as required by law, in fact, to do so, and that Honourable Member doesn't have to almost have an accident trying to get here on time for the meeting because, you know, the plane's only arrived at 9 o'clock. So I think timing also has a great deal to play in the arrival of members to the committee.
Yes, Secretary.
When I took the draft committee program to the office of the chief whip, I had like 10 o'clock as our starting time for the meeting, but when it was written to me, it was changed to 9 o'clock, and I was told that parliamentary committee meeting started 9 o'clock, not 10 o'clock. So that is why I called the meeting for 9 o'clock. I was advised by the office of the chief whip.
The problem, Jefferson. The problem, Jefferson. I understand the secretary what you say. The problem, Jefferson, is the practicality of the thing. If you want more members to be here on Tuesday, you cannot start at 9 o'clock because you won't find anybody at 9 o'clock. You'll find another about 4 of us here. If you want these members to be here, make sure that. We practically understand their reasons why they are not here. I'm not talking about the reasons that they didn't get the mail at all, but I'm talking about the latecomers now. I'm talking about the people who really flying in and so on. Those are the things that I'm doing. But I understand what the secretary says. Thank you very much, Chairman.
I think we'll take all the comments on board preparing ourselves next time in arranging these meetings. One of the important suggestions is that it's something that in my other committees I always insist on, that it's not sufficient to send out SMSs and notices. It's important that people are called well in advance and get verbal confirmation over the telephone if they will be available, and impress on them the significance of their attendance. So I think if the committee section can pursue that route, it might just minimize the extent of the problem. I think we've done justice to this. Yes, Congressman Ndlovu.
May the late come and speak now. Chairperson, actually, I must say I'm very disappointed that there's nobody here. When I was writing here, I thought maybe you started shortlisting. And I can understand what Honorable Michael and Honorable Ndlovu are saying about the time. But what I want to say is that on the committee side, they're doing their level best to inform us about the meeting. But I guess what my worry is that, remember, we've got a deadline. And remember, in our agreement, we even said that if we don't meet the people that we think are suitable, we still have to re-advertise. You see, I'm looking at those times. I think, Chair, you must not be lenient on the letter that you're writing to Chief. If people have to be changed, they have to be changed. Honorable Michaels and I last time agreed about this. For the first time, I agreed with DA. So I think, Chair, let's not waste our time now. Let's just attend. I know I came late. I thought maybe the meeting is far half. And, Chair, you must remember also this is an impression that goes out because the media is not interested in what we're doing now. If they're here, if they were there, they're going to write something else. I think you must just do the letters to the chief. Just to change their people because we can't have people having the same excuses, especially as people have an opportunity on a Monday morning. It's not it. I don't know, take it unless your mother is passed away. You can't apologize on a Monday morning, on a Tuesday morning for that matter, unfortunately. I think Chandler just attend this meeting and just go. And yeah, nothing further. Thank you.
Look, I think certainly for those parties where the members are saying that they were not aware I think the chief whip of those parties will need to explain, because it is the duty of the party to ensure that their members are duly informed as to which committees they are expected to serve on and to actually prioritize. And if they have either failed to prioritize or simply to make themselves available, the chief whip of that party should take responsibility to correct that. It is in that spirit that we are agreeing as a committee that we would write, especially to those parties where members are insisting that they were not aware that they have been deployed to serve in this committee, to resolve that, because we can't continue with a situation where we think we have members and members are not aware that they belong to the committee. I mean, that it's a different thing if a member, for whatever reason, is not able to attend, as opposed to a member not even aware that they are actually a member of the committee. I think that part needs to be resolved. That which parties were they? These members were from?
Two
members of COP. And the other member from the other party?
UDM and IDM, they apologized and I spoke to them before they started the meeting. I spoke to them last night, and
so they only apologized this morning. Yeah, yes, Ms. Michael.
Chair, I just want to say one quick thing, and this is to you as a chairperson, so that you know from the committee side. Temba Nkosi did everything he possibly could to inform us about this meeting. We received two notices in our pigeonhole. We received an email, we received a call, and we received an SMS. Temba Nkosi, as a human being, could not have done any more to inform people about this meeting. So please, Chair, just know that your assistant did everything in his power to get this meeting together.
Not in the letter. Look, okay, let's not do an overkill on this. Let's then agree on a way forward, so that we are better prepared next time around. What is before us at this stage is a list of potential candidates, as in candidates that either applied, and I'm emphasizing the word applied for the position, or candidates who were nominated. At our meeting last week, the committee secretary alluded to the fact that he tried to arrange the list of names according to two main categories without building a Chinese wall between them. The one category would be the bottom part of the list, which consists of members or candidates who obviously do not meet the minimum requirements of the Act, just on the face of it, because they are too underqualified or related to them. The top part of the list relates to candidates who may have some potential, varying potential, but it's up to the committee really to work out and determine to what extent are they worthy candidates for potential shortlisting for purposes of inviting them for interviews. Now, I would want us to leave today with a clear sense of when we come next time, you know, what should we be prepared for exactly. I said earlier that there were two issues that we agreed upon last week. The one related to the need to go through the list and do a shortlist. The other one related to a decision. decision that we need to make as to whether the pool of candidates we have justifies us proceeding, or whether the pool in our view is not adequate for us to proceed, and to rather, you know, open it up for more potential candidates. Now, I think if we were to decide on the latter, it would be critical that we make that decision today, so that we save time. Because if we're going to meet again the next few days or in the next week, only to decide that we want to extend, it means that we're pushing things even closer to the red light zone, where we will be so much under pressure for time that we may find ourselves in a very untenable situation. As it is, we've already lost quite a bit of valuable time. So I want us to apply our minds to that. But before we do that, can I just get a sense from the committee secretary, if we were to open it up at this stage, how many week or weeks do you think we could add on to the program? How do you see us the kind of time frame that we could possibly be working with in terms of, you know, allowing more potential candidates? And then I'll ask the members to respond to that.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the term of the current public protocol ends on the 15th of October, and I was informed that the new public protocol should take office by the 1st of October. So if we decide on re-advertising now, that means that advertisement will go out this coming weekend, because we'll have to use at least one of the national newspapers, such as City Press or City Press or Sunday Times. And then we might maybe need another week, or maybe make the following week the closing date, like the following week the Friday. But in whatever we're doing, so we just have to make sure that by the 1st of October we have someone appointed to the public protector.
If we make a closing date, the following, you said Thursday,
Friday.
The following Friday, it means that the CVs would then have to be bound and then circulated to all the members, possibly the following Monday. And what date would that be?
That would be the
7th of September. And then the committee would then meet, say, that Tuesday the 8th, to consider the additional pool, and then do another round of shortlisting, and then give the shortlisted candidates time to make to prepare themselves to come for an interview. So we need a week's notice, which, if it goes out on a Wednesday, would mean the following Tuesday, which is the 15th of September, whereafter the committee would then deliberate, possibly the following day, and make all the same day, possibly, and make a recommendation. Now, the 16th would be the day that then the report gets forwarded to the House, and either that week or the following week would the matter be before the House for decision, which pushes us to possibly the week of the 22nd. Now, once the committee has, or Parliament has made a recommendation, the president still needs to be informed and make an appointment. If anything is problematic and the president wishes to refer the matter back to parliament, there will simply be no time at all between that period and the 1st of October for the House or parliament to reconsider its decision and make whatever adjustments that might occur. All in all, I'm just looking at the practical implications of the situation, and I ask myself, is it a viable option at this stage? Do we necessarily have to advertise on the weekend? If, for example, we advertised, send out an advert this afternoon, and it started to run from tomorrow, and gave people until next week, Tuesday, then we would be able to still meet and look at those next week. It is additional. I'm just trying to think of alternative ways to shorten the process. Yes, Ms. Michael.
Chief, obviously Tim and Kosi will have to correct me, but it is my understanding that it has to appear in a national newspaper for both the first set of advertising, and then should we wish to reopen for further advertising of candidates. Chair, I understand your concern that if the president has a problem with it, he won't have time to send it back. But I think we must also have faith in ourselves as a committee that we're established according to various statutes, and we're a duly constituted committee whose job it is to elect the public protector. And I think it would be a very extreme circumstance where the president perhaps wouldn't agree with our nomination, and of course parliament has to accept that nomination too. So I think it would be exceptionally rare that the president would disagree with both the committee and parliament on the appointment of someone like the public protector. So I'm almost inclined to say I think that's a risk that we as a committee must be willing to take, simply because we must have confidence in ourselves to elect someone that would be acceptable to parliament as well as to the president.
I think that's not really the main issue that I'm raising. All I'm saying is that whatever we do, if we could be do things in a manner that we don't squeeze anybody who has to make a decision into a tight corner from a time point of view, that they can't even be allowed the space to exercise their mind before they exercise their own constitutional responsibilities. That's all I'm saying, if we could help that. But I'm not necessarily raising it as a substantive issue. But, Honorable Clover, you wanted to comment?
No, Jefferson, I think you've covered me with that statement that you just said now. Because at the end of the day, we are recommending the person we have to appoint must be given a time to do so. If there is any question that you want to raise, you must have that time to raise those questions and so on. It is prerogative and the right according to the Constitution to do so. Therefore, I think, but you can't do anything, Chairperson, because they have to be in the mainstream of newspapers with the advert. Therefore, you can't do anything. We have to squeeze in the time frame that you put forward. We have to deal with that. And see how far we take it. If there is any possibility of coming back, it will be another time. And that means an extension from the House and the extension from the President himself to the person who is in the office. Extension for a month or so to deal with these matters. That thing can be done because the Constitution allows us to do so.
Hearing sound to the effect that we are leaning more towards the possibility of creating room for more
potential candidates to expand the pool. It is based on people's sense of the pool that we have. You know what? Can I suggest that let's make an informed decision? Let's examine what we've got at this point in time. And perhaps let's make up our minds as to whether we think that there is a strong need for us to expand this pool. I understand that ICASA received something like 100-odd nominations and shortlisted something like 30 or something. That was quite a minefield. On the contrary, we received 32 candidates. Let me allow the committee secretary just to report on the status of the candidates that we've received.
Thank you, Chair. We received about 15 CVs, Chair, that I, according to my discretion, was for the potential candidates, and then the rest is just exterior name. Okay, Chair, but Mr. Katado Gilemasangu, and then we've got Mr. J.J. Brennan. Those are the candidates that
wanted you to first tell us how many candidates all in all did we receive. And then we can go down to giving us a breakdown.
Right, Chair, we received 31 civil chair, and then candidates 1 up until 15. The ones that we have felt that they are the potential candidates, and then from 16 up until 31 channels do not meet the requirements as required by the electorate.
Is that the impression that other colleagues who have been through the series have? Look, if there's unanimity in that regard, then effectively what we're saying as a committee is that the candidates that we seriously have to apply our minds to at this stage is about 15 candidates. Now we then need to look at, out of that 15, how many are serious potential candidates for appointment. And that would then lead us to the question, do we think that pool of the number that we've arrived at is sufficient for us to make a potential appointment or recommendation, or rather that we should opt for Plan B, which is to re-advertise. Can I get some comment on that? Yes, Ms. Michael.
Chair, I agree with him and Kosi that the top 15, I wouldn't even say the top 16, the top 15 meet the requirements and have sufficient educational qualifications as well as practical qualifications. Chair, there were a number of CVs that impressed me within the top 15. Three stood out more than the rest. And I think one has to take into account what exactly the role of the public protector is. And if one takes into account that particular role, then I do think out of the 15 there are some serious contenders for the position of public protector in regards to practical experience that they've had in the workplace. We also, within the top 15, have someone who is at the moment a sitting acting judge. So, you know, we're dealing with some serious potential here. Also, if one looks at the way, in my short time here in Parliament, the way shortlistings have been done, you normally do look at shortlisting about between 10 and 15. So that's not the end of the world if we do shortlist down to the top 15. So, Chair, from my side, I think that there are some serious contenders within the top 15.
Trying to remember the acting judge, who is it among the candidates?
I'll tell you now, Chief. Give me a second. Tim McCourty, help me. He's an acting judge in Siskar and Transkar.
Okay, he'll look at the time, but maybe you can just proceed with your other comments, then basically what you wanted to write. Member who wishes to comment? Of course, we also have a nomination of the currently serving Deputy Public Protector, who obviously is effectively applying for a promotion, if you like. But of course, we not necessarily bound to prioritize her purely on the basis of her current status. Would have to apply our minds to all the candidates and on the basis of that assessment make a decision. Yes, Ms. Michael.
Okay, thank you. I have that name for you. It's Matlanseni Ntembu, who is number 10 on our list. And Chair, if you go to his curriculum vitae, since I think it's 2007, the Minister of Justice appointed him as an acting judge in Siskar, acting judge in Transkar, acting judge in Siskar, acting judge in Transkar, and it says that I continue to act as an acting judge in these divisions to attend to and complete part-time head matters. So that's number 10. And Chair, I think it's quite impressive that in 2009 he was appointed as the acting judge president of the Eastern Cape Division of the High Court. Page 7 of his CV.
Chair, there's a principal question that you asked at the beginning before we went to the names of the people, which I want to respond to.
Yeah.
The principal question is that is there if we look at 1 to 15,
yes,
do we think by extending the invitation or extending the advert will equip us more, or will it give us more time, or what will it do to us out of these 15 that we think that are there now? Out of the 15 that we have, for example, the name that they've just came up now with the other names that are there. We have just said Chairperson, there is a person who is in there, in the office, who's applying for the promotion again, and so on and so forth. There are two possibilities, Chairperson. One is that if we open the applications, then we see that it doesn't fit into this 15. Therefore, we go along with the 15. But what we are looking at, Chairperson, we are not looking at more than 5 people out of these 15. Because at the end of the day, out of these 15, if those applications that we are going to have, within 10 days. If they don't qualify up to the 15 people that you have, the top 15, that means, therefore, we've given everybody a chance, but they don't qualify. They are below the ladder. Therefore, we are looking at the 15. And out of the 15, we may not come up more than 5 people, but we are really looking at around about 3 to 5 people, which we must take a decision on it. That's a principal question that you asked, which I wanted to respond to, without putting the names forward.
I'll upon my colleague there. I just wanted to indicate that even this exercise of inviting Honorable Michael to just clarify who the person she was referring to was just an in-person matter. It was not intended to actually really open up a process of shortlisting per se. I just wanted to check if I've missed something about one of the candidates that is significant. But yet the question is still on the table regarding process as to how do we proceed. Colleague, you wanted to comment on that?
Yes, I wanted to comment because I came in one of the mentors who was speaking under me. I just want to say, Chair, let's not hurt our emotions, because now, for me, this is, I know the interest is we went through the file, but let's just adjourn. Not that I'm angry, I understand what you're doing, but it's going to give us hope, and then next again, we won't be in a quorum, because we'll end up going through all the files. So, let's just attend. Because we've agreed on the process that we're going to write a letter, we'll go to the chief, then as soon as next week, we'll meet again.
No, when you had gone out, there was one issue that we raised, and that was that it is critical that today we have a sense as to whether, after we have adjourned, you know, when we come back, what is it that we're going to be doing, and what is it that could be done in the meantime, in the sense that if there is a possibility of us deciding that we need to expand the pool from which to make a selection by way of re-advertising, if we don't make use of the opportunity of today to make that decision, and only make that decision at the next meeting, then the time frames when we did the calculation are such that they might throw us right into the red light zone, which is the point at which a new public protector must have already been appointed. So to be on the safe side with regard to time, we thought, if there is some, to err on the side of caution, perhaps we need to critically look at the question that if we think it's safer rather to advertise now and let the advert run in the meantime whilst we're sorting out issues of attendance and so on, so that when we meet next time at least, that part is done. That maybe that's one viable option of buying time in this regard. So I think that if we could be at one around that specific question. I understood Honorable Jove to say that we have a pool of 50 potential candidates. We can only really shortlist about 5 or so. And I wanted to respond to that issue to say that it may well be that out of that 15, there's potential to shortlist 5. And there's a potential that we could make an appointment. But I thought that the main reason why we may be inclined to re-advertise is not so much whether there are candidates who meet the requirement. It's whether we think that this position has received sufficient public attention and has attracted sufficient response new public protector for South Africa is selected from among a sizable pool of good potential candidates because of the significance of the position. So we don't want to select the best among the very few good people. We want to select the best among a reasonably sizable pool of good potential candidates because of the stature and the significance of the position. And therefore, if that is the thinking, then that would support the idea of opening it up again for a very limited period of time, because we don't have the luxury of time, provided that the Parliament would give us grief with regard to the cost of re-advertising, etc., etc., and rather create a space for the possibility of more potential good candidates. And we are not necessarily saying that the few candidates that we can shortlist down to are not good potentials. We're just saying that judging from the number of responses, it seems that this position did not receive sufficient public awareness or attraction or interest, whatever way you put it. Hence, we ended up with such a small pool from which to select. That is, if we feel that the pool is small indeed, small in the sense that we are excluding the bottom 16 or so who really are just out of the question. So the serial candidates we're talking about 15, and we're saying out of that 15, that 15 isn't representative of the pool of men and women potential candidates out there. And if not, shouldn't we invite more interest in this, so that when we make an election, we're satisfied that we got the very best that we could get out of potential candidates of South Africans who would be keen to serve in this capacity. So that's really the question that I'm putting forward, and I just want us to reflect on that and make a decision. It's critical that we make this decision today so that we don't lose time between now and our next meeting. Ms. Michael.
Chair, allow me to voice a concern that I have. This nomination went out, call for nomination went out some time ago, and these City One people were the people that responded. Chair, now, let's be perfectly frank. What is going to make people respond to a call for nomination now when they didn't do it a month ago? Do you understand where I'm going with this now? What I'm saying is that these 31 people applied when the advert first went out. Why would anyone else apply who is better qualified or in any other matter now that didn't do it already before the cut has come?
Mr. Glover? Jefferson, the answer to my colleague is that one, the advert is not broadening for the sake of broadening the list, but it's open up the public so that the a person who's going to be appointed out of this five or ten or whatever, it's known by everybody. This is why I put a comma by saying those applicants, those people who will be responding to the advert, the last advert, may not fit in to this 15, to this 10 we have. Therefore, it takes us back to say we have invited the public, but the public didn't respond the way we wanted them. Therefore, let's go ahead and look at this 10. In other words, I'm taking into account what you are saying. You are saying, I've issued the invitation to my wedding, but it seems as if there are a few people who didn't hear my invitation. Let me reissue the invitation and see who will come. If they don't come, and I've only end up with my family, that's fine, because I've already extended my invitation. Anybody can come to me in the corner and say, he didn't see it, or he never. That is why I'm taking it in that light of saying, well, that's issue is invitation. But let we know that if we get qualifications which are lesser than what we think, as this child system that we have talked about, therefore we will say that we have done it, but let us look at this 15 and look at this 5 and end up recommending. That's how I look at it, sir. Thank you very much.
If they, in principle, let me put it this way. None of the existing candidates would in any way be disadvantaged by an invitation to the public, once again, potential candidates to come forward. It would simply enlarge the pool from which to make a selection. The only disadvantage, of course, is that it would force us to approach the House once again and request a second extension. Secondly, it would squeeze us in terms of the time frame within which an appointment is supposed to be made. I think if we're saying that, given the significance of the position, we would rather satisfy ourselves with a new committee, bearing in mind that the advert was issued under the previous parliament and that we're a new parliament. Not that that is a disabling factor for us to proceed, but simply to say that it may well be that the circumstances that have evolved may have resulted in more potential candidates becoming available. By the way, when was the previous advert issued for record sake? Yeah. I just wanted him to tell us when the advert went out.
The closing date was the 24th of April.
It was at a time when people were caught up in elections, 2 days after elections. Obviously, the advert went out during that period, so people may have been caught up in things. But I'm not saying that that alone is a sufficient factor in itself to justify saying that that would be a fair, a compelling reason to reopen. I'm just saying it's a factor to look at as well. Honorable Suduba.
Actually, I wanted to say, if you remember, Honorable Michael, the first meeting that we had when we asked for the free advertising, we said the timing of the advert was not feasible enough. I myself considered that. I'm not trying to say that we are doing wrong or something, but I'm saying at the end of the day, I don't want us to find ourselves in a position whereby we shortlist, we go for interviews, we ourselves then say we are not happy with the same candidates that we pre-advertise. So let's just agree that we must. Maybe fair to say that I have looked at the things. I don't say it, there's anything wrong, but I'm saying as much as the candidate that we say, remember some of the things when we have to appoint a public director, someone must understand the community of work, not only your law qualifications, yes, it's one of the prerequisites, I'll say, but if you can go through some of the things, I'm not sure whether you went through all of them then. But for me, Chair, I would support this idea to say that that's just at once, but we're not saying we are disqualifying the candidates at all. But we are saying, no, we can agree on that we're not, we cannot do that. But we just advertise and say that, as Honorable Michael just said, that it must be on a national advert. I will go for the move that we re-advertise, but it must not be a long process so that we can do the same. as soon as you can. Maybe let's move on now. Conrad, you must say whatever it is, but let's give each other a time frame and then. Yeah, okay.
Let me make it clear, I'm quite happy to go through the process of re-advertising, and I also agree that, you know, the 24th of February was a long time ago.
Of April, sorry, yeah.
It was a long time ago. But Chair, and I feel that I would voice my concern because I'm amongst colleagues and I'm amongst like-minded people. My concern is, as someone who sat with the Human Rights Commission, where we re-advertised, it concerned me greatly that when the shortlist of the Human Rights Commission was drafted, all the new nominations were shortlisted and you know, potential candidates off the old list were left out. And Chair, I think that there is an immense amount of talent in this top 15 that we've got here. And I would hate to see them being disadvantaged in any way by re-advertising. So Chair, I think we, please, by all means, let's re-advertise. We make it as inclusive as we possibly can. We get the biggest amount of talent applying that we possibly can. But let's not forget that we have talent with us as we speak now, and that we add this talented pool to the new pool that comes in after re-advertising.
Right. I think I'm sensing that some unanimity is emerging, that while the committee is sensitive to the time pressure within which an appointment needs to be made, given the date, the closeness of the date upon which the lapsing of the existing public protector's tenure is to occur. The committee, however, is of the view that some time has lapsed since the advert was issued and responded to. But secondly, it occurred at a time, at a very critical time in our country, when the country was in the middle of an election. The deadline for those adverts was on the 24th of April, which was 2 days after election day. Maybe some people did not apply because they believed that they would do well in elections and come to parliament, but otherwise would have opted that route if they could predict the outcome of an election. But on a more serious note, I think that is a significant factor to mention. But secondly, to say that the committee secondly is concerned that out of the 31 candidates that either applied or were nominated, less than half of those really meet the basic requirements of the Act, and therefore the committee finds itself with a significantly small pool of potential candidates from which to make an appointment. That even though there are strong candidates, I think that point needs to be made, even though there are strong candidates in the committee's mind, potential candidates for appointment among the remaining 15, that the committee views the significance of this position warranting the opening up of this opportunity to allow more potential South Africans to make themselves available, so that the committee has a much larger pool from which to make a selection. I think that's more or less the spirit in which we're putting this forward. We clearly not saying
that they are the potential candidates for appointment. But we say that the size of the pool in the circumstances when the advent came out made the committee believe that there is possibility that if we cast the net again, we might get a lot more out in the sea to choose from. We want to be spoiled for choice in order to make the best possible recommendation in the interest of the country. I think that's more or less the sentiment of the committee. In that event, that then becomes the decision of the committee at this stage that we are not going to proceed with the shortlisting of the existing candidates. We're going to open it for a very limited period of time again. We would then have to advertise, you say, we have to advertise on the Sunday papers. Hopefully Parliament will support us, including financially, in ensuring that the adverts go out. And we hope that if the media is here today, they will also help us in spreading the message so that people are on the lookout for an advert over the weekend that is upon the speaker approving our course of action and allowing us to go ahead with an advert. It would have to be timed such that come next week Friday, the deadline cannot be beyond next week Friday. And as soon as the deadline closes, the committee section should immediately assemble the CVs, make copies for every member, so that the following week we are in a position to sit and finally make our shortlist. Whereupon we would then have to, at a fairly short notice, invite the shortlisted candidates to come forward and, for the interview. Does that basically summarize the way forward? All right. Thank you very much, colleagues, for your very useful contribution. Get us out of this question.